It's the X's and O's.
And he makes the catch for a Houston touchdown.
It's the radio shows.
Yeah. I didn't see somebody's horse just completely break down and go down his leg. Like, I'm done.
It's exclusive and in-depth conversations with the GM.
No, I think if you're in these positions and if you don't take it personal, there's something wrong.
It's all that and more. And it's Texans Weekly, starting right now. Texans Weekly is brought to you in part by M&G Bank, the official bank of the Houston Texans. And by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome into this week's edition of Texans Weekly. Boy, it's been a rough 7 weeks for the Houston Texans as they prepare to take on the Oakland Raiders Sunday here at Reliance Stadium. And we're going to break format just a little bit this week. Instead of heading directly out onto the road and following our radio shows, a lot of big news going on out here at Reliance this week, including the release of Ed Reed, surgery for Arian Foster, and the return of head coach Gary Kubiak. So let's get right to the reaction on all of that.
JJ, can you give us any your thoughts on Ed being released?
I mean, you know, in the off season, myself included, everybody's excited. I think sometimes things just don't necessarily work out the way you thought they would. And I mean, Ed's a Hall of Famer, a great football player, and we wish him all the best.
I mean, I wouldn't know what to tell you. I mean, you're asking me about that night. I really don't remember a whole lot about it. You know, I don't. And I'd rather not talk about some of those things, to be honest with you, but it just feels great to be back. I can tell you that. You know, you have true appreciation for the opportunity you have and the opportunity to be around the players, be around y'all, and come back and do my job again. So I have a true appreciation for that.
It'll be like normal, you know, it'll be good. It'll be good to have him back, and I know he's probably the most excited to be back and to be coming back. So he'll probably tell you all that, but you know, we all appreciate him, and he's our leader, he's our guy.
And some more good news this week surrounding Brian Cushing, who made a trip down to Dawson High School in Pearland, where he was handing out some Stars in the Classroom Awards, and he had a chance to catch us up on his rehab process.
2 weeks ago today, I had my surgery, so you know, it's been a little bit of time, but you know, the injury's still kind of new and fresh, and I'll have another 2 weeks on crutches, so I'm kind of, you know, non-weight bearing right now, and I'll have 5 weeks total of staying off of it. But you know, it's like I said, in comparison to last year, it's a whole lot better, and just the rehab is going a lot more smoothly.
We have to take our first time out here on Texans Weekly, but don't go away. When we come back, we'll sit down and visit with GM Rick Smith. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Weekly. Joining me now, as always, General Manager Rick Smith. Thank you for being here.
You're
very
welcome.
Busy week for you, I know.
It has been.
Let's start with the big news right off the top, and that's the release of Ed Reed. Can you kind of just sort of take us through the time frame as to what happened, why, and kind of the end result?
Well, I mean, obviously the end result is that, you know, that signing didn't work out the way any of us anticipated that it would, and obviously the season hasn't either, for that matter. But it always, all these decisions that we make, Patty, are predicated primarily on football. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, we weren't seeing the production from Ed that we, you know, that we needed. And so, you know, when you're having a season like this, you're always looking for different things to do. And this was one of the things that we decided collectively, you know, that we wanted to do to move forward.
You know, he made the comments after the game, we got outplayed, we got outcoached. And Wade addressed those comments after the fact that this is something, you know, we like to keep in house. He's kind of surprised that Ed chose not to keep it in the house. How much of those comments were maybe a factor in this? Was it the straw that broke the camel's back, or did it have nothing to do with it?
No, I wouldn't go so far as to say it was that. I just think that anytime you make a decision like that, I think it's an overall body of work or overall comprehensive type of evaluation that you're looking at how the contribution is on the field, what the contribution is off the field. You know, so you're looking at a number of factors, and I would say that everything went into that decision.
So how personal do you take it? You know, I know it was a big deal for you in this offseason. He's your biggest free agent signing. You're always looking for that diamond in the rough. You're always looking to improve the team the best you can. When something like that doesn't work out, Is it just, hey, that's just part of the business, the nature of the beast, or do you take it personal?
No, I think if you're in these positions and if you don't take it personal, there's something wrong because, you know, obviously I'm fully vested in the success of this organization. And so when you make a decision and you move in a direction and it doesn't go the way you want it to go, then you've always got to be, at least I try to be self-reflective and look at the situation and is there some learning that we can take from it to move forward and grow from.
All right, let's move on to Arian Foster. Arian had back surgery this week, out for the rest of the season. Just your thoughts on, you know, obviously another blow to the team, but just sort of the way that whole thing unfolded.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously another disappointment in a string of them so far. And, you know, but the thing is that there was some pathology there that we felt like needed to be addressed. And so it's a surgery that's very predictable from a rehab standpoint. And so I'm fully confident that we will be able to, you know, to get him back healthy. It was something that gave him, you know, some, you know, problems over the course of, if you go back to even the off season. So he's dealt with this issue. It's good to have it resolved. And I think he's committed to making sure that he has an off season that's very productive so that it gives him a chance to go and have a good year next year.
So when you're saying there's a pathology that you guys had to make some decisions, you felt it was best to do it sooner rather than later? Is that what you mean by that?
No, what I mean by that, Patty, is that most oftentimes when you deal with injuries, there are a couple of different options that you can take from a rehab standpoint. There's conservative approaches in this instance, a conservative approach that, you know, maybe you elect not to have surgery initially and see if it can calm down enough where he won't have this again. We had been kind of using that, you know, methodology, and it hadn't really worked. He kept having reoccurring, you know, symptoms. And so in this instance, we decided to have the surgery. And so, you know, what I'm saying is at this point, the conservative approach probably had exhausted itself. And so we elected to have the surgery. The situation and the symptoms are hopefully going to be totally resolved, and he'll be able to move forward.
So those two guys opening up, of course, two other roster spots. I know there's about four moves you made this week. Can you kind of just update us on those moves?
Sure. We made a couple of, if you remember, at the end of last week, we signed Josh Victorian to the active roster. He ended up playing special teams for us and made a couple of plays, did some nice things. So we had a practice squad spot available, as well as Andy Cruz pulled a hamstring. And as we've talked about before, the primary function of those roles is to help facilitate practice. And so we had to add a couple of guys on the practice squad. We did that. A local young man from the University of Houston, actually, as one of the defensive backs, and then another wide receiver from Jackson State. And then we also had the two roster spots. Arian's IR move opened up a roster spot. DJ Smith, a linebacker, because we've got some issues there with Mike Muhammad still hobbling a little bit from a hamstring, so we felt like we needed to bolster the linebacker group again, and so we signed DJ Smith. And then the other spot, too, we had another roster spot, obviously, with Ed's release, and so we brought back Jawanza Starling, who was with us in the offseason and throughout training camp, who was on the New York Giants practice squad, and so we brought him back as well.
Obviously, the other big news of the week, head coach Gary Kubiak has been back at practice. He addressed the team. He addressed the media this week. According to him, if all goes well, he will be back out on the field. And I know not only is he the head coach of your team, he's also a very good friend of yours. Just what has it sort of meant to you guys as an organization to see kind of not only what he went through, but just he's kind of back with a different sort of attitude, kind of a peace of mind. He looks refreshed. Just having him back here, I know, just means a lot.
It really does. It means a lot to our football team and the organization. And obviously, we're very thankful. You know, that the situation has resolved itself as quickly as it has and that he's back. And I think what he brings back, that fresh perspective, I think is something that we should all carry, and that's just a thankfulness. I think when you get away from things, sometimes you recognize how important they are, and I think he did. He's brought that perspective back to our group, and it's been good to see.
He even said he was thankful to be back talking to us, the media.
How about that?
Well, I don't hear that coming out of your mouth. You're thankful to be sitting here with me.
I am always thankful to be here with you, Patty.
All right, before I let you go, let's talk about the Oakland Raiders coming to Houston this weekend. Obviously, after the last seven games or so, boy, this would be a nice one to sort of get off the schneid with.
Yeah, it really would be. Anyone would be after seven of them. And so, you know, another talented football team, but they all are talented in our league, and we know that. And so, but to get, you know, the opportunity to come back home and to, you know, hopefully pull a game together with Gary back, you know, with the group and hopefully providing some inspiration. And, you know, again, You know, I've said this all year. If we can play our brand of football and play clean football, aggressive, smart football, you know, then I like our chances.
All right. Thank you so much, Rick. And, of course, this week is Salute to Service Week on Sunday out here at Reliance Stadium. And when we come back, Mark Vandermeer will visit with a very special guest. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Weekly. As I mentioned, it is Salute to Service Week, and there will be a big celebration out here at Reliance Stadium on Sunday for the Oakland Raiders game. In fact, in keeping with that theme, our Mark Vandermeer had a chance to sit down with the commander of the USS Texas submarine, Andy Hertel.
Salute to the military, and what a better way to do that than to speak with Commander Andy Hertel of the USS Texas. How's it going, Commander?
It's going great, thanks.
Well, we visited out in Honolulu last year when I was covering the Texans at the Pro Bowl, and you were gracious enough to give us a tour of Pearl Harbor, the whole facility, just amazing. And now you're in the Hyundai Texans radio studio, so this is our version of amazing.
It's awesome.
There you go. You could probably fit something like this in the submarine.
Well, you could. I like the soundproofing that you've done in here. We're big about acoustic security and such, because that is one of the big things that submarines bring to the battlefield is our stealth, right? Yeah. So I want to make sure that the acoustic environment that I live in is exceptionally quiet.
All right, so you command the submarine. Clearly, you're not on it right now. What are you doing here in Houston?
Well, I'm here for a couple reasons. The primary reason for my visit is to talk to students at various universities around the state and get them interested and excited about service in submarines. Because we need to recruit the best and brightest with folks that have a good head on their shoulder to go operate submarines for deployed in the national defense.
How long does it take to get on the sub and actually be in a mission or a trip, if you will, a voyage? What do you call that?
A deployment. What, you typically
voyage call it. Is not really. I'm thinking voyage to the bottom of the sea or something like that.
Slightly different.
Yes, slightly. But how long does it take from the time you sign up, if you're a good candidate, to a deployment?
Well, the way it works is you graduate college, then you've got to go. The Navy's got to train you in how to operate a nuclear power plant.
You can't just get right on and hey, this switch is on and this switch is off and probably not.
There are definitely some on and off switches on the ship, but none of them involving the safe operation of a nuclear power plant. So I've got to make sure that every new officer that comes into submarines has a solid foundation in the safe operation of a nuclear power plant. So that takes about between a year and a half to get people trained up on.
Give me an idea of how much power we're talking about on the USS Texas with the nuclear reactor.
I could tell you, but I would have to kill you. No, we have the power. We've got, a pretty significant nuclear power plant that keeps all the lights on and keeps the propulsion system working. And that helps power up all the fire control and the sonar and the weapon systems that we have. Capable of bringing the fight to the enemy if that's required.
But I also want to get into some of the nuances of the submarine. It's
sure.
The USS Texas, so you have a Texas flavor going on inside.
That's for sure. One of the things that I want to make sure is that any sailor or any person who steps on board my ship knows immediately that they are on the Texas. And that's helped the relationship that I have with the Texans as part of that. But, you walk onto my crew's mess, which is really the primary gathering place of the entire crew. You've got you got tables in there where the crew eats. And I've got a table for some Texas heritage, with Come and Take It. That emblazoned there on the table. I've got the Texas Longhorns. Mm-hmm. I've got the Texas A&M Aggies, and I've got a table dedicated to the Texans, too. And a couple other things. The Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo has donated some great stuff to the ship in the form of a saddle. And I have an 8-foot set of Longhorns.
In the submarine.
In the submarine.
Wow.
Yeah, finding a place for an 8-foot set of Longhorns is not an easy thing to do.
On a submarine, I would imagine. Yeah, you need all the space you can get.
Yeah, but, those things go to, the pride that we have in our unit. And, if you've got two equally capable teams, the one that has more pride in what they do is going to win the fight every time. So anything that we can do to improve the the pride and the esprit de corps of my submarine is just making us a more combat effective ship.
Yeah, that's got to be a big part of what you do as commander of a submarine. It's not just operating everything efficiently, which is obviously the major requirement here, but
sure.
You got to keep everybody's spirits up. So that's a huge factor.
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. And keeping spirits up sometimes when we're underway is a challenge because you're away from your home. I've got a wife and two kids, and
it's all guys on the sub, right?
Yeah, it's all guys. So. Keeping spirits up when you're away from your family is challenging. But fortunately, we've got a great team put together on the Texas, and it's like it's your underway family, and you
right.
care for each other and you look out for each other, and it's great to have things like say the Texans table or the Texas Heritage table or a 9 foot set of or 8 foot set of Longhorns
right.
on the ship that make people very proud of where they serve.
Commander Andy Hertel of the USS Texas with us in the Hyundai Texans radio studio. Your flag football team, you
yes.
wear the Texans jerseys, correct?
That's right.
Now, are they actual Texans jerseys? I think they are, right? Are they old practice jerseys or something? Or
I think they are old practice jerseys, and they've got the names on the back of them don't match the crew members' names wearing them.
Right.
But, every time that our guys walk up on the field and say another submarine out there.
Is it a submarine league? It's all subs, or do you play some?
There are many submarines out there, but it's an intramural league for the entire base.
Okay.
Effectively. So we're playing against target ships, or surface ships, rather,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, base installations. But we walk in wearing our Texans jersey, a real deal NFL jersey, whereas they might be wearing their T-shirts that they woke up in that morning or something. And that's another thing that goes to the pride of the unit, that they get to wear real-deal Texans jerseys, and they are the crew of the USS Texas, and that's pretty exciting for them.
Thanks so much for joining us. Thank you for your service and all your crew to our country. We appreciate you joining us on Texans Radio.
Thank you. It's my pleasure and my privilege. Thank
Commander
you.
Andy Hertel of the USS Texas, salute to the military.
Great stuff, Mark. Thank you so much. We look forward to the big celebration on Sunday. We have to take one final time out here on Texans Weekly, but don't go away. When we come back, Ask Antonio. Stay with us.
Texans Weekly has been brought to you in part by Amegy Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans. And by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network.
Welcome back to Texans Weekly. As we do each and every week, we head back out onto the road to the Houston Texans Grill, where Antonio Smith is standing by with Mark Vandermeer, DP Sidhu, and Drew Doherty for this week's version of Ask Antonio.
Time now for the segment we run just about every Tuesday at this time. We call it Ask Antonio, where we hear from various Texans players who want to know various things about the Ninja. Let's start with this special teams player extraordinaire.
What's up, Tone? This is Brayton. I'm just kind of curious where you would find the Shaolin Temple on a map.
That's a tremendous question.
that's where you're from on all primetime games, correct? Do you always say Shaolin Temple, or have you said something else before?
No, I recorded that like 3 years ago.
They just keep the same one?
Yeah.
The Oklahoma State Alumni Association has a complaint with that, by the way.
They know I love them.
So what's the answer to the question?
Brayman always got to come with some super, I don't even know what to call that kind of question, but I will answer it. If you would have to point at the Shaolin Temple on the map, you would never find it. Yeah.
It's a very wise answer.
It does not exist.
I'm confused.
Yes. In regular time and space.
It's invisible?
The Shaolin Temple I come from is an old ancient Chinese secret hidden.
Have you seen the Shaolin monks that like have the telephone poles rammed into their stomachs and it's like nothing?
Yes, they chi is very strong in them. Most of those guys are Tai Chi masters.
So they're not doing abs of steel and
No. Man, it's different types of breathing techniques and they put their body through severe punishment throughout their whole life.
It's not like a Ben Tate Kevlar vest under there.
Well, if Ben Tate did some of that stuff, his ribs would be like Kevlar, you know?
Wow.
I feel like they are already.
I watched one documentary and it was an old guy who his whole life he beat his hand against a steel plate, and his hand had formed calluses that with anything less density as a steel plate, his hand could shatter it. Yes.
That's a good
Everybody
party
needs
trick.
A hobby. Wow. All right, let's get to the final question for Ask Antonio.
Hey, Tony, this is Case. Hey, what's your favorite thing to do on the ranch?
Favorite thing to do on the ranch?
Man, I was going to say shoot my guns, but I actually like riding my horses a lot better than shooting my guns. I got a lot of horse trails, and a lot of them I just found last year. I done had it 2 years, and I just got on my horse and get to going all through them, and, oh, there go a trail right there, you know. It's kind of peaceful, you know. Get on your horse, get your saddle bags, nice little flash.
Wearing a hat? Wearing a hat? Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes your hat fall off. Sometimes you have the tree bush in the head.
Oh, yeah.
You
know?
What's the name of your favorite horse?
His name... I can't give you the...
Whoa.
Uh-oh. Really?
Yeah.
That bad, huh? I didn't know beforehand. Okay. What type of horse? What's he look like?
He is a quarter horse Palomino.
Got to be a bigger horse for a big guy like you, right?
His first name is Whiskey, though.
Whiskey.
Yeah, the second name I can't
I
say.
I know where this is headed.
I think I know.
You do? Okay, I'll have to ask you during the break. Yeah. Do you go along at a nice slow pace, or do you hit a gallop?
He a big old boy, so...
And you got the flask and all, so I imagine that might be messy.
So we just ride slow sometimes. Every now and then, I whip him into shape. If I knock some of the pounds off of him, he'll give you a run for your money. He can run.
What's the weight limit on a lot of these horses? I mean...
The bigger you are, the bigger horse you better keep.
Yeah. I mean, this can't be pleasant having a ninja.
I done seen somebody's horse just completely break down, just go down his leg like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like,
really?
Get off me.
Yeah. This ride is over, sir. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Went down on all fours like, okay, man, just get up.
That's all the time we have for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it, and we hope to see you out here at Reliance Stadium this weekend as your Houston Texans take on the Oakland Raiders. If you can't be out here at the stadium, be sure to tune in at 10 a.m. for Texans Countdown Live. We'll be counting down 1 hour live pregame show leading up to the game, and then after the game, be sure to flip back over to Fox Sports Southwest for Texans Wrap Live. Have a great week, everyone.